We're so glad you're here, and I just want you to know this. I'm feeling, I just feel stirred in my spirit just about what God is going to do in the room today. And I don't think you're here by accident or by coincidence or by chance. I really believe God has you here for a reason. And when I say stirred, I feel a burden from the Lord for us to go deeper in our relationship with Him. And we've been talking about legacy and a legacy that starts with us. But I want you to know what starts with you is your own personal journey to go deeper into the heart of God and into your relationship with God. And so I want to talk about some things today that I honestly, if you can open your heart, could shift the entire trajectory of your spiritual life. Literally. That if you can just open your heart, say, God, I want whatever you have for me, could really alter the direction of your life in a good way to move you forward in the things that God has for you. I want you to go, if you have your Bibles, to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19, verse 1. It says, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They answered, no, we've not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. So Paul asked, then what baptism did you receive? John's baptism, they replied. Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, what we just did. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues, and they prophesied. Now, two things are happening in the room right now. One, all the Baptists got nervous. And all you charismaniacs said, finally. Right? All kinds of emotions hit the room. It says in Acts chapter 19, it says that they didn't even know that there was a Holy Spirit. So this story, Paul is returning to Ephesus, and he happens upon a group of people that somehow had not heard. At this point in history, the early church was growing rapidly. It was spreading faster than they could even plan for. There was persecution to the early church. Wherever there's persecution, it seemed like the Church of Jesus Christ multiplied. There were signs and wonders. There was thousands that were being added every day. And now Paul is in Ephesus on his second journey through, and he finds this group of people who said, we have heard of some things happening, and we're believers. We follow John the Baptist. We believe what he says. And Paul says, you're way behind. All right. So he says, Jesus came. He's not coming. Jesus came. And so you got to get baptized. And he said, and the Holy Spirit has been sent. The Holy Spirit has been sent. And he says, he laid their hands on them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They spoke in tongues and they prophesied. Now, I grew up in a charismatic church. So I've got all kinds of memories of really wild meetings. And you know you're charismatic if you call services meetings, right? So that's like one of the clues. And so like a timer on worship, that's quenching the Holy Spirit. You know, it's like hour three, you're just getting good. And I could tell you stories for the rest of the day of things I've seen. And but you know, people get freaked out about the Holy Spirit because of things that they see. And so I was speaking at a conference yesterday, and I was talking to some of the guys that went with me, and I said, isn't it interesting how weird we make Christianity sometimes? It's like, man, there's just some like weird stuff. Like maybe you came in and you're already like, people are getting dunked in a small hot tub. So you already feel like, man, there's some weird stuff happening here. And they didn't even make the walls big enough. There's waves coming over the front row. You may have went into another expression or church and seen things where it's like, man, that's just odd. I remember, I will tell you one of my own stories. I remember growing up, and my mom's dad, who we called granddad, our grandfather, he was in church, very reverent man, and mild mannered. And we were in a service, a revival service / meeting. And we were there, and I was a teenager. And so I'm a teenager, I'm in there, and we had a wild evangelist, and he's in there and he's doing his thing, and he comes up to my grandfather, who's there just politely worshiping the Lord, may have had his hands slightly up, not like here, but like here, you know, and was just focused on the Lord, had his eyes shut, and this wild evangelist walks up to him, and he had a like a nice button-up dress shirt, all buttoned up, tucked in, just pressed, neat, nice, and he grabs the pocket of the shirt, and he rips it off his shirt. I was there. Okay, I'm a witness. I'm like, you did that to granddad? Luckily, my grandfather was a very modest man. He had a t-shirt underneath, all right? So he had a good Hanes beefy tee that was there and had that thing rocked. And I'm like, literally, this man is holding my grandfather's pocket in his hand. And he says, the Lord told me to tell you, it's time to rip the Band-Aid off. You know, the organ, dun, dun, dun. And it's like, rip the pocket off, rip the pocket. He was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. That's only on Christian television. And as a teenager, I'm thinking, that's weird. In fact, that's frightening. In fact, I'm never wearing a pocket on my shirt. Because that wasn't the best experience. But you know what I found out? Early on, my teenage years, I saw some of those things that were a little bit frightening. I realized something, that the Holy Spirit, if you've been around very long, then you might have heard this before. The Holy Spirit isn't weird. People are. Like, there's some really weird people out there. Like, that's, and if you're one of those people like, I don't know any weird people, you're the one. You're the one. You're welcome. I'm glad you came today. Now you know. There's some weird people. And you know what I realize is that weird people, before they're filled with the Holy Spirit, are weird after they're filled with the Holy Spirit. And normal people, the rest of us, I'd like to count myself in that group. I hope I'm there. Normal people without the Holy Spirit are normal. Normal people with the Holy Spirit are still normal. And I begin to think, what an incredible strategy of the enemy to take the greatest weapon, help, given to the church and to put a label on it like weird so that most people stray away from it and they abdicate the opportunity for empowerment, for help, for comfort, for wisdom, for teaching that comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's not weird. People are. And there's some weird people and there's some weird services. Some of the things we do in churches, it's wild. It doesn't make sense. And you start talking about the Holy Spirit and people get nervous because they've been in those things. They've been in those services and we don't know if someone's going to like stage dive or start running around the room or, you know, hit you in the face with a flag or we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. But not all that is. Not all that's the Holy Spirit. And I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying we have to be careful what we label as the moving of the Spirit. Because if you're just passionate and a little weird, I don't know if it came through or not, then that's okay. But don't put a label on the Holy Spirit like that's Him. I remember being prayed for in some meetings. Some of you guys remember this. Now I'm like going back memory lane and praying. You know, you've got the evangelist and they come up and they're ready. I don't know if anyone's experienced this. They're going to push you down. Like either you're going down or they're going to push you down. You know what I'm saying? Some of you are like, there's churches like this. Yes. And so then like you brace for impact. Like if it's really God, you'll get me. You know, like if you can knock me down like this, then I'll believe. Things like that, some of you are laughing because you know, some of you are like horrified that this stuff happens. I think we just have to be careful that we take someone's expression and then we broad stroke that as the work or the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It says this in our text. It said in verse 2, Paul says, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They said, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. I read a commentary that said this, these Ephesian disciples showed that they didn't know much about God's nature as revealed in Jesus. They knew enough to be saved and to be students of Jesus because they were called as disciples, but they didn't know much about all Jesus did for us. especially in his promise to send the Holy Spirit when he ascended to heaven, because this is a promise of God that he would send the Holy Spirit or the helper to help us. Which sound, if you say it like that, it sounds really good, right? You guys want some help? Yeah. Okay. I'll send the Holy Spirit. Sounds good. But then we've made it a lot of other things. I found this to be true. People believe one of three things about the Holy Spirit. Number one is people either don't know that there is a Holy Spirit. And even today in 2024, there's a lot of people that just don't even know that there is a Holy Spirit. They don't know about the working of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's all right. And most people that don't know, it's not that they don't want to know. They just never heard or it's never been taught. The second group of people, they don't, there's a lot of these people, they don't want to know that there is a Holy Spirit. So this usually is somebody that's had a bad experience. And so the result of that is to try to find some type of theological doctrine that supports their trauma that says that there is no. So I don't want to know. I don't want to know. I like baby Jesus the best. I don't want the Holy Spirit. Okay. We don't get to pick our God, pick our Savior. God loves us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, Jesus. And I'll tell you this, and God so loved the church that he gave his Holy Spirit so that you didn't have to walk through this life alone. You didn't have to walk through this life without power. In fact, that's what I called the message. I called the message this, put some power on it. Not find some power, go discover some power, put some power on, because that's what the anointing is. The anointing is God's super on your natural. It's God's power on what you're already doing. It's God's empowering on the things that you're already doing. People don't know there is a Holy Spirit. They don't want to know there is a Holy Spirit. Or, this is a lot of us, we've known the wrong things about the Holy Spirit. So we've said we've been taught it's this or it's that. And we have this wrong perspective of the help that God sent through the Holy Spirit. Many people have doctrinal beliefs or cultural beliefs, but not biblical beliefs. Sometimes because of bad experiences, we can form a doctrine around the bad experience. So this is why maybe if you've ever prayed for healing for someone and they have not gotten healed, then a lot of times the pendulum swings over here and now you say, God doesn't heal. All the signs, the gifts, they ended with the apostles. And the reason you form that doctrinal place, that theological stance, is because of a bad experience. But I have to help you with this, that your experiences should not dictate your theology. Your theology should inform your experiences. It's important that we don't get it backwards, because if my experience dictates my theology, I will always be at the mercy of what I experience. But if there's a truth, a true north, there is a foundation of the Word of God, then the theology from the Word of God now informs my experiences. I found this to be true theologically, as people love to take a doctrinal position and they like to argue against other doctrinal positions. Hashtag Facebook. All right. I heard one thing one time when I read my Bible 14 years ago, and it's like they're trying to fight. You know what I found is that most people take an extreme doctrinally, and Jesus is usually, or truth is usually, found in the middle. That it's not just Holy Spirit or Bible believers. No, Bible believers should operate in the Holy Spirit, because the Bible teaches about the Holy Spirit, and people that are operating the Holy Spirit definitely need the Bible. Because some of the most doctrinally illiterate Christians are people that are just flowy in the Spirit. Spirit-filled people must be grounded to the Word of God. And if you're grounded in the Word of God and you really believe the Word of God, you will be filled with the Spirit. But we form denominations and camps on each side, and the truth is actually somewhere in the middle. Chris Hodges says this about the Holy Spirit. He says, an intellectual gospel is always in danger of creating a God who looks like us, one who is our size. People who need answers before they experience God will reduce God down to the size of their own capacity. If we've got to understand God before we can experience him, then God can be no bigger than our brains. Most of us serve a God that is small enough that we can understand, or that we, if we, anything that, that we cannot understand that's outside of our experience, then we dismiss. But God's way bigger than our understanding. In fact, the moment you begin to understand God, I got him figured out, then the moment he ceases to be God. Because just by nature of being God means he's not understandable. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. He's God, God Almighty, outside of time and space, God. We don't want a God we can understand. We don't want a God we can control because he ceases to be God. Now, we've been in this legacy series, and I have a confession to make today, and it's going to feel good to just get it out, okay? We have failed as parents in a specific area. Literally, we might be the worst, okay? So we're teaching you good principles today. I'm going to tell you, and it's just going to feel good to just get it out in the public and just put it out there. Our boys are the most picky eaters that you've ever met in your life. And you're like, oh, yeah, no. Like, it's so bad. It's humiliating. It's humiliating. Like we have created little monsters in regard to food. And it is, it's like, I'm like, Jamie, is this you? She's like, is this you? I'm like, I don't know. Is it us? We have failed, all right? Legacy is slipping right now. They are so picky. Even good things. I mean, it's like, just eat something healthy, please. Please. Please for dad. These guys, I mean, it's just, it's humiliating, okay? It's like our number one fail as parents. You know what I realize is that our churches are full of picky Christians. Man, this would be good for you. I don't like it. Please eat your vegetables. No, dad, I want Lucky Charms. I've never heard that before, but if I did, that'd be a problem. And we have churches that are full of picky Christians who like to pick and choose what type of doctrine or theology or experience that we want instead of actually looking at the Word of God, at the Bible, and seeing what he says about our life and how we live. And so we have picky Christians that are like, I don't like the Holy Spirit. And this is the problem, is you can't get anything from God without his Holy Spirit. Like any promise that God makes through the Word is fulfilled through the Holy Spirit. Say, so, well, my Bible says God will never leave me or forsake me. Guess who will never leave you? It's the Holy Spirit. Well, one time God answered my prayers. He did. And you know how he did it? By his Holy Spirit. In fact, if you read your Bible, over 800 times it mentions the Holy Spirit. Now you're going to be ruined because when you read your Bible, all you're going to see is Spirit, 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 Spirit. Because everything that God does on the earth is accomplished through his Spirit. Understand? Like, well, Jesus healed me. Well, actually, Jesus came, lived a sinless life, died on a cruel cross, was raised from the dead 3 days later, ascended into heaven, sat down at the right hand of the Father, and now prays, intercedes for me and for you. But he's there. So the one doing work here is his Holy Spirit. So even people that don't like to talk about the Holy Spirit actually operate by the Holy Spirit all the time. Because if God's ever done anything for you, or if you're saved, you cannot become a Christian without the power of the Holy Spirit. It's his Spirit. It's by his, not by might nor by power, but by his, wait, that's in, yes, it's everywhere. It's by his Spirit. And then a couple weird people came into the church and now everyone's like, I like God and Jesus, but that Holy Spirit is weird. No, that deacon was weird. Sister Shanana was just Sister Shanana. It wasn't Holy Ghost. I'm going to get in trouble today. There's just those Sundays you're like, yep, this is the day. This is going to be. Did you know that God warned us that the Holy Spirit was coming? He sent by his prophets ones that would prophesy of the coming of the Holy Spirit. Joel chapter 2, many of you know this scripture. Joel chapter 2, verse 28 says, and afterward I will pour out my, it's everywhere, on all people, your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. So God told us the Spirit was coming. Then in the book of John, Jesus tells us the Spirit's coming. John chapter 14, he says, all this I've spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. So Joel prophesied it, Jesus promised it, and God delivered it. Joel prophesied it, Jesus promised it, God delivered. Acts chapter 2, verse 15, it says, these people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. So when the Holy Spirit came, and then some of them did get a little weird. Now that I'm reading that, I'm seeing that. They were appearing as drunk. It says, this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel, that the Spirit of God would be poured out. It says in Luke chapter 24, verse 49, I am going to send you what my Father promised. So it was promised. But stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you know this scripture. It says, but you will receive power. When? When God, no. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Then Acts chapter 2, it's the fulfillment of the promise. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them, and they were all, how many? All filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues. How many? All filled with the Holy, that got a little quieter. All filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So we see that the Holy Spirit was promised by the prophets, was promised by Jesus, and then delivered in the upper room. How do we know that the Holy Spirit came in the upper room? How do we know what difference that made? I'll tell you why, and we'll talk about it more in a couple weeks. But the disciples were a mess. They were intimidated. They were fearful. They fell asleep while Jesus was praying in the garden. It's like pretty important time to stay awake. They're just zonked out. These guys are disowning Jesus, swearing to little girls that they don't know him. It's Peter did. Like, why you gotta swear, Peter? I mean, come on. Legacy, bruh. Then they get filled with the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, Peter stumbles out of the house and preaches, and 3,000 people get saved in one day. Same guy that was scared and disowned Jesus is now the same guy that is bold. Almost all of them became martyrs. They died for what they believed in. Well, what happened to the scared little disciples? Well, they had an encounter in a room that we call the upper room. And in that moment, the power of the Holy Spirit came on them. And as far as we know, they were never the same again. And they turned the world upside down. And Christianity began to spread around the globe, all because of the birth or the empowering of the Holy Spirit. This is important for us to know, because this is what empowers us to do and to be the people that God has called us to be. Acts chapter 10 is so interesting to me. Acts chapter 10, verse 34, it says, then Peter, who's all bold now, began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened to the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached. Now, here we go, verse 38. How God, I just want to read it slow so we just kind of like see this. How God anointed Jesus, no period, of Nazareth, as Nazareth with, so when you're anointed with something, anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. And how he went around doing good. And I was like, I want to be a Christian and I want to do good. You know how you're empowered to do good? And healing all, you want to see people healed? All who are under the power of the devil, because God was with him. How was God with him? By the power of the Holy Spirit. So this is just my realization. If Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, I definitely do. If Jesus needed to be anointed by the Holy Spirit, I definitely need the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's for you. It's for your family. The Bible says it is for all. It is for all who are to come that the gift of the Holy Spirit is for. If Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, how much more do we? Did you know every writer of the New Testament was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues? So the New Testament we read, we memorize, we quote, every writer was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues. We know this because she was in the upper room with the apostles, and it says all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues. Jesus' mom is getting filled with the Holy Spirit. This is not something that is like out of the blue spin-off doctrine. If you go back to the early fathers and the formation of our Christian faith, all of this is connected together as one movement, as the gospel of Jesus Christ spread around the globe. The anointing is God's supernatural working in our natural. The anointing. So if Jesus was anointed with the power of the Holy Spirit, then what happened is God's supernatural power came on his natural abilities. Now, I have got a couple saws up here, and this is a handsaw, and this is a powered saw, which I also know is a skill saw, okay? So some of you are like, powered saw is not a skill saw. It's powered, and it's a skill saw. And I have to make that clear because sometimes people don't know if I know what I'm talking about. Like yesterday, we were at a wedding, and the pizza truck got stuck in the mud. It's just stuck there. I'm like, no one's going to get their pizza. This is a bad day. You know, Jesus turned water into wine. I'm about to set the pizza truck free. And so I'm in a suit and it's in the mud. And everyone's like looking at it like, how are we going to have pizza? I'm like, someone's got to get this truck out. So I walk out there in the mud. I'm like, we got to get this truck out. And they looked at me like, do you know what you're talking about? I'm like, well, don't let the short pants fool you. I know how to get a truck out of the mud. So sometimes you just got to let the people know. All right. This is a handsaw. It takes your strength, your power, your ability. It is effective. All right. People use this for a long time. Some of you in the crowd are going to come up to me afterwards and be like, Pastor, I still only use the handsaw. That's fine, but there is new technology and it's called power and you should try it. No, I'm never giving it up. All right. Your initials are like in here, your handprints on your handsaw. That's great. I don't cut down trees very often. But if I do, I'm just choosing a powered saw. Did you know that the power of the Holy Spirit is not a different type of power? It's not something different than who you are. It's power on who you are. So the powered skill saw is not doing something totally different than a handsaw does. It does it more effectively, with more power, gives you the ability to do it more often. It doesn't get tired, doesn't wear out. Right? It's power. You could say that it is a better version of what we have manually. Now, can you be saved and not have power? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You can just go to church every Sunday. Just keep on checking the box, brother. Just keep on doing your thing. But there's also power. You can say, well, I've done pretty good with my handsaw. That's great. What would you do with power? Well, I'll build a pretty good family, pretty good business. Great job. What could you do with power? I'm not trying to convince you of something that you don't need. I'm just trying to tell you what the Bible says, that if Jesus needed to be anointed for his purpose, then we do as well. We need the anointing of the Holy Spirit to produce power in our lives to do the thing that God's called us to do. And Christianese gets us confused when we start talking about the anointing and the Holy Ghost. You know how you grew up if you say Holy Ghost instead of Holy Spirit. All right. It's the real ones know is the Holy Ghost. Ain't no ghost but the Holy Ghost. Anyways, we need to stop. The Christianese sometimes acts as hurdles in us receiving a very simple instrument of help. I think we need to like demystify the Holy Spirit demystify all of the words and the things and tongues and prophecy and all of these things. And we believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe in speaking in tongues. We believe. In fact, I want to show you this. This is what the Bible teaches us that was like the common denominators of everything that happened. When people were filled with the Holy Spirit, there's common denominators. What happened to the early church when they were baptized in the Holy Spirit? They had power to do signs and wonders. They had boldness to be a witness. And they spoke in other tongues. Paul says, I speak in tongues more than all of you. He was also very humble. It's a joke. It's a joke. I speak in tongues more than all. We believe in speaking in tongues. We believe in power to do signs and wonders. In fact, in the service right before you came in, last night, I had a dream. I never have dreams. If I do, I don't remember them. And in fact, my pet peeve is hearing about people's dreams. So I'm going to tell you a dream, so I feel really weird about saying this because I don't like hearing about people's dreams. It's like, oh, Pastor, you want to hear about my dream last night? No, I don't. I was a flying unicorn, and then I turned into a Cybertruck, and I don't care. Like, but last night, I had a dream, and in the dream, there was two people that had labored breathing. They couldn't breathe. And it's like, not like they were dying, but like they had a sickness or some type of situation going on in their lungs, and they couldn't breathe deep, and God healed them in my dream. And I woke up and I was like, that's weird. I never remember my dreams, but I remember. So that was weird. And so we came into first service and I told that dream just like I did to you. But then I said, I don't know if it's here, one of our other locations, but somebody, you've got labored breathing and God wants to heal you. And two ladies over on this side raised their hand and said, that's us. So then some of the people in church, some of our staff, some of the team, some went and prayed with them. And then you know what we did? This is what we don't do enough. Because we pray for sickness and then usually like we run. Like we prayed, we did the thing. They're like, well, do you believe it's gonna happen? Because maybe you should ask if God just did what you asked him to do. So we just did it in front of everybody. And I was nervous. I said, do you feel anything different? And both of them, God healed both of them today, this morning, right before you came in here. I like the power of the Holy Spirit. There was no music. There was no loud sounds. There was no screaming, no running. Just the beautiful, gentle presence of God that healed two people's bodies. So, The power of God, I mean, you know this. We need the power of God in our world. We need our power. We need the power of God to stay married. We need the power of God to raise good kids. We need the power of God to stay sane. We need the power of God to not get depressed, discouraged. We need the power of God not to be anxious. We need the power. Wherever there's a lack and you need him, this is what the Bible says. The Holy Spirit is your helper. It's not some mystical big force of ghost. He is a helper here to help. So you might ask, like, well, how do we receive the Holy Spirit? Okay, if he's here to help, how do we receive the Holy Spirit? I want to read you this scripture in Luke chapter 11, verse 11. It says, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? I can relate with this because I'm like, if my son asks for a donut and I give him a broccoli, or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. If you then, though you are evil, now you're not evil fathers, but in comparison to God, we're evil. That's how good he is. So it's not how bad we are, it's how good he is. So that comparison is, man, God's so good. He says, if we, though we are evil, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Do you think it could be that easy? Yeah, I think we've made it too convoluted and complicated and weird and mysterious. So if you need help, you need to ask the Holy Spirit to fill you, to help you, to teach you, to encourage you. People ask me different seasons in my life that know things that Jamie and I have gone through. How did you ever get through that? Well, the power of the Holy Spirit. Not like some encounter spiritual moment, which we all believe in, but like daily living with God and asking the Holy Spirit to help me get through today. Help me forgive people that have hurt me, and help me get over those things, and help me have joy again, and help me. He's the helper. He's here, sent by God on mission to help you. And I felt today, this is what I talked about in the beginning, I felt this stirring. Like for some of you, it's time to just take the next step in your relationship with God by just simply in your own way, in your own journey, to just ask God for his Holy Spirit to fill you, to help you. It is baffling to me that some people will struggle, I mean struggle, and then say, I don't want the Holy Spirit. I'm like, man, God loves you so much, and he really cares about that struggle so much that he actually provided help for you. And if you would ask him, he would give it. He would give it. At our church, we believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe in prophecy, speaking in tongues, all of those things. But I want you to know today that my encouragement and challenge is for you to just, in your own way, in your own journey, to just ask for the Holy Spirit. See, one day, I'm going to write a book on the Holy Spirit, and you already heard my title. The Holy Spirit is not weird, people are. Because there's so much stuff out there that I just want to, like, I want to help people. And I was going through all of my notes yesterday, and I have just pages and pages and pages of teaching. And if there's anything I'm pretty well studied on, I would feel pretty confident going toe-to-toe against just about anybody, is like the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Like I can go there. So I'm preparing all of my stuff. You know what I felt in my heart is that was not what we needed today. What I felt from the Holy Spirit, I even say it, like it's the Holy Spirit that speaks to us, was that I needed to present to you an opportunity in your own spiritual journey in life to just begin to lean in at a deeper level. And I think you need all the theological backing and doctrine. I could talk that all day. But today's an invitation that wherever you are, to lean in at a deeper level and to just ask, maybe in your own prayer time, maybe today as we worship, maybe when you leave and you go home, maybe in your own prayer time, maybe in your car on your way to work tomorrow, but just ask, Holy Spirit, I need you. Some of you just asking God for help could be your breakthrough moment. That instead of just doing everything on your own, that you would just admit, God, I need you right now. I don't feel great. I feel anxious, or I feel crazy. I need you. And even in that vulnerability, I think God might do something really special for you. And it's not gonna look like it looks like on someone else. It's gonna be for you. And you don't have to dance, jump, walk, speak, yell, scream, whatever you've seen. You just yield to God and allow him to take you deeper.